From State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio.
ESPN 1000.
The home of the White Sox.
WMVP Chicago.
Waddle and Sylvie are with you as you return to the office. Just like that annoying coworker that always talks about their cat. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Watching the Masters here at home, I know Waddle's got it on in the First Midwest Bank studio with Black and Abdallah. And it is a Connie's Frozen Pizza takeover day. We've been enjoying Connie's Frozen Pizza all day, and we're going to pass it along to you, too. More free Connie's Frozen Pizza for you to win in the 5 o'clock hour. And don't forget, if you're in your car right now and you're thinking about what to do on a Friday night, want to make it easy, just preheat the oven. Pop in a Connie's Frozen Pizza, and dinner is served. You got to try the deep dish. I just tried their deep dish. First time I've tried it. It is outstanding. And I always veer towards thin crust, but this was so damn good. Connie's Frozen Pizza, pick them up today at Mariano's. Your local Jewel Osco, they've got them for two for $10. And if you want to go online, there's a dollar off coupon. So you can get two for $9. Just download that coupon, take it into Mariano's. Your local Jewel Osco, and bam, you've got dinner for this weekend on a busy, busy weekend. I just saw DJ bogey another hole to go back to three over, Waddle. I've got DJ in one of those bets on DraftKings where it's DJ versus Bryson DeChambeau. And Bryson is way up on him.
Yeah,
now.
Bryson's one under par for the tournament. I believe he shot a 5-under-67 today. DJ's not having a good go of it so far.
He's three over for the tournament.
Yeah, and that's currently, last I checked, that was the cut line. So anybody that was three over or better, still projected cut line is plus three. And in fact, his name is the last name on that list.
We got a good tournament, though, don't we? Who's at the top?
Yeah, at the top we have Justin Rose at 7 under par. I believe he was 3 over par on his round on the front side today, but shot a 3 under par 33 on the back nine to card a 72, which is even par. So he's 7 under. Will, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, Zalatoris, I believe is probably
it. That's the way it looks, doesn't it?
Yeah, and Brian Harman, two guys are tied one shot back, minus six.
That's Harmon.
Harmon, is that how you pronounce it?
I'm kidding.
Harman, I don't know. I just know yesterday, Merck, as in typical fashion, Merck was telling everyone, I know there's a lot of golf left, but Justin Rose could probably just take a knee. He's
really?
Going to win this one. Now he's got a one-shot lead.
He does this as a bit, doesn't he?
No, I don't think so. And the guys, Carmen, the good kid, were busting his seeds today, which was funny.
Yeah. Spieth is 5 under. Did you mention him?
Spieth is 5 under par. He shot a 68 today. Justin Thomas is a shot behind Spieth. He's 4 under. Tony Finau's 4 under. Hideki Matsuyama is 4 under. Colin Morikawa is 2 under par. Xander Schauffele's 2 under par. Bryson is minus one. And Tommy Fleetwood's even.
What about Fred Couples?
Fred Couples will not make the cuts. Fred Couples, plus 13. He shot a 6 over par 78 today.
What was his nickname? Boom Boom?
Boom
is
Boom.
It Boom Boom Freddie Couples?
Yeah, because he used to be the longest hitter on tour. You know, he was a, I believe he was a college fraternity brother of Jim Nance.
Was it North Carolina?
I believe it was Houston.
Oh, damn. Why did I think he had a
I believe Nance was on the golf team in Houston, wasn't he?
Yeah, probably.
So I think Nance and Couples were in school together and were, I want to say that Nance was on the golf team.
Does Jim Nance have the miniature Masters in his backyard? Is he the one who has it?
He's got the house on, I believe, at Pebble. Doesn't he have a par three in his
backyard?
Yeah, he's got a par
that's
three
what I
hole.
Thought. That replicates some like professional holes or the Masters or something.
Well, it
like
is on be, Pebble. It's yeah. at Pebble.
Yeah, it may be that short par three at Pebble.
Oh,
although
right.
his backyard isn't looking, I don't believe the hole's looking out onto the ocean.
I went downhill after the Fred Couples nickname. Yeah. I was cruising there for a little bit, then golf got into it.
Yeah, and then you went sideways. I'm not gonna lie, you went sideways.
So there you go. That's the latest from the Masters.
Hello,
hope
friends.
You're having a great Friday. If you were at the opening day for the White Sox yesterday, 332-3776. At about this time yesterday, opening day was just getting underway. And then a couple of days ago, I had a sort of, I don't know what to call it, like just a team meeting. Team meeting with my fellow Cubs fans after one of their losses.
Where was the team meeting held?
In my basement. It was, I did this.
An Instagram Live?
Yeah, when I went live. It was the first time, I believe, I went on Instagram.
Is anybody
live.
Here? Sir, are you okay?
You know, we had a group of like 170 at max.
Sir, are you okay? Sir.
And I wasn't going to go on and rant. Then I said this and like, John Greenberg said, boy, I signed into this. And then as soon as I found out.
You gave us a tour of your basement and parts of it again, didn't you?
A little bit. Oh, yeah. That people were asking what's in my fridge and different things like that. But John Greenberg was saying if I knew that this was going to be a guy in his upper 40s in his feels, he never would have tuned in to begin with. He was expecting me to go, as you just put it, sideways. Yeah. He was expecting me to go cap kind of after that first game. I am past. I am, for Cubs fans who want to weigh in, 332-3776. And I had a good talk with my mom yesterday. We had a good Cubs discussion.
How's she handling the start to the season?
She's not sure yet either. Okay. She's not sure. I am past the point of being angry.
Is that because you've got your World Series title and did go on a run?
No.
Or because you just are a realist and you've seen this for an extended period of time?
Were you not with me in 17, 18, and 19? You know how
I blacked out those 3 years.
I'm not one of these guys who says, I got my World Series, I'm good now.
It does ease the pain.
No, because I've always said, when the Cubs became the Cubs in 16 and won theirs, then instead of being the cute and cuddly Cubs, I wanted to be the evil empire. I wanted everyone to hate us. I wanted to win and win and win and to be looked at like the Dodgers are instead of the Cubs, you know? That's what I wanted to be. And it didn't materialize. They were good years. But at the end, they always left you wanting more. And in 17, and 18, and 19, and 20 against the Marlins, you, at the end of the season, said, why don't these guys hit?
So you just come to terms with this is who they are.
This is who they are. And I'm not going to, and I don't have high expectations for them. But again, it's not anger. It's like the stages of grief. I'm in the disappointment. I don't know the order they're supposed to come in. I can only tell you how I feel about it now. I'm disappointed and confused is the way. I'm not going to yell about them. I'm not going to scream about them. I just don't understand how good hitters together in a lineup aren't good hitters. I understand, like with basketball players, Waddle, where you get guys, you know, who may need two basketballs or three basketballs. You know how they always say there's not enough basketballs to go around.
Right.
I understand that. This isn't that. These guys should be able to play together. They like each other. They have a good vibe. The culture's good. But for whatever reason, no matter who they've changed, and they've scapegoated a lot of guys. They scapegoated Melee. They scapegoated Chili Davis. They scapegoated Joe. Theo Epstein walked out the door. And sure enough, here they are at the same moment, and they just can't hit either. So,
yeah, I agree with you. It's a small sample size in 2021, but it's just a continuation of what you saw in a condensed 2020 season, which was just an extension of what you saw in the 2019 season.
Right.
This is not. You can look at what you've seen so far this year and understandably say it's a small sample size. But the truth is these trends have been evident and obvious for quite some time.
And then my biggest issue with confusion is with the signing of these guys. Like, together, they're not good. So I want them signed, but how could I yell sign them when they don't produce anything in the lineup?
You know, we talked about this a bunch in the past and kind of, you know, at one point I said to you, you may find out that the inability to come to any long-term extensions with any of these guys in previous years may turn out to be a blessing.
I know.
Do you know what I'm saying?
It doesn't seem like it now, but yeah, like maybe you just need to be hit over the head a million times and just say, you know what, now just let them go.
And like you said,
set them free.
I mean, I think that Tom Ricketts, I mean, this is kind of These guys are taking pressure off of him, to be honest with you.
Right. Like I've said this earlier in the show, 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. I wanted Tom Ricketts to re-sign Castellanos. I wanted Tom Ricketts to give Theo more money. But if I'm Tom Ricketts and it's 2021, and, you know, the quote of biblical proportions wasn't a good look either. But if you're Tom Ricketts and you're a fan and you're watching your ball club and you still are paying a lot of money payroll-wise and you look up at the end of the day in the box score, you sit through these games like we sit through these games, he's got to go to Jed and say, Jed, why should I sign a check for these guys?
Yeah.
What are they getting me? What are they delivering me? What are they accounting for offensively? So, 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. I want to also play you a Sox highlight package coming up here. But Kevin was at opening day. Kevin in Lincoln Park. You're on Waddle and Sylvie. What's up, Kev?
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good.
We're great. How was it?
Awesome, yeah. So it was a really good time. You know, I hadn't been to a Sox game in a few years. I was out in Los Angeles. And, you know, prior to that, I'd mostly gone to Wrigley Field. But this was a great game, particularly because I think, I don't know, just the excitement of this team, kind of a lot of hype. Not, and it's legitimate hype, I think. But there was just a feel, and even the workers. I remember kind of some of the Sox workers being, I don't know, whatever, the concession workers in the past, you didn't really talk to them. But these people were very welcoming. And it just was like, even for those 2 hours in the rain delay, everyone was, you know, drinking a beer, kind of talking about the team. And there was just that community feel that you want after COVID. So we had a great time. I saw a lot of good things on the field. And obviously a huge round of applause for Tony La Russa, not so much for Governor Pritzker. But,
yeah.
You know, we had a good day. It was a good time.
Carmen said some of the same stuff, Kevin. He said, and Carmen was there. He said, like, coming in and out of the building that, the people that were there, the workers that were there, they've always been very nice and friendly. But he said he sensed a true appreciation for people being back in the stands and being back in the ballpark, which allows them to, you know, come back to work and have their jobs. So, I mean, maybe you felt the same thing from being there.
Yeah, I did. I think there was a lot of excitement. People were just happy to be there. People happy to be back and cheering on this team. It didn't matter if, you know, somebody's guys I know, they have 20-game packages at both ballparks. But I think that the hype on this team from this ballpark, it meant more maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Kevin, hang in there. I'm going to get you a free Connie's Frozen Pizza, okay?
Hey, I appreciate it. So
there
thank you.
There's Kevin, 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. So I want to play you coming up next some of the sights and sounds from the ballpark on opening day. If you want to weigh in on my confusion with the Cubs and who to pay and who not to pay and how they don't score as a team consistently, or you want to weigh in on your experience at opening day or any of your Sox thoughts, we had a good Nick Madrigal conversation a little bit earlier. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Plus, we'll talk some football. Kurt Warner, one of our favorite guests, had some interesting things to say about Andy Dalton and the Bears. We're going to play you that at about 5:30. Hey, guys, it's Pizza Man. Today has been a great day with Connie's Frozen Pizza taking over the first Midwest Bank studio. I've got one of the deep dish sausage pizzas in front of me at home. The guys enjoyed the thin crust sausage with the cornmeal crust in the first Midwest Bank studio. So we want you on your way home to stop at your local Mariano's or Jewel Osco. You can get 2 for $10. Download their coupon today. Get $1 off, so it's 2 for $9. If you're thinking on a Friday night with some sports on TV, what you need to do for dinner, pop into Connie's Frozen Pizza. Connie's Pizza, been doing it right in Chicago since 1963. Now pizzeria quality taste right at home with Connie's Frozen Pizza. Let's give away another Connie's Frozen Pizza to you right now. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Quick, caller 10. You get the free Connie's Frozen Pizza from Chicago for Chicago.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
All right, so no games tonight.
I was just going to say, and I'm disappointed by that. Like I'm more than a little disappointed. I like having at least one baseball game to watch every night.
Right, and other than
I really do.
And other than football, I was just thinking about this too yesterday. when I was watching the Cubs in the afternoon and we weren't on because of the Sox opener. So I could just sit back. I had the Masters on one screen, getting ready for the Sox on the other. And the Cubs had sole possession of TV One. That I, like, as much as we say that baseball can drag sometimes or the rules aren't perfect or there's 162 of them, other than watching the Bears, which you watch every second of every Bears game if you're a real Bears fan, that baseball is probably, of the other sports, what I watch easily the most of.
Yeah.
That even though there are so many of them, even though they play nearly every day in the summer, it is on, and I am consuming it.
Yeah, me as well. Like, listen, again, if you cut it back to 145 games, I'd still be cool with that. But I just like having a baseball game. The fact that the Cubs and Sox are both off tonight sucks for me.
You know, and I've always been an NBA guy, and I always will be. But lately with the Bulls, lately, and when they get better, I'm sure it will change. I'm not in on the first quarter. What the hell's going to go on in the first quarter that's going to dictate anything that happens in that basketball game? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I used to be like a West Coast basketball freak. Like the late game, whether it was a Wednesday or a Thursday, the TNT late game, I find myself watching more like just different streaming shows.
Right, right. There's so much good content. But so like for Bulls games, I'm more into, hey, let's see how they do out of halftime. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And whether they're down 10, big deal. They're up 10. We know that's not locked up. I mean, a 10-point lead in the NBA is like a 3-point lead used to be. It evaporates quickly. And
I don't know why I'm with you. I don't know why I'm watching less NBA basketball than I have in the past.
Yeah.
But like, I'm all in for the postseason, totally all in the postseason.
So I've loved consuming both of the teams so far. Obviously, I root for one, which is the Cubs. But for those saying to me, and I still continue to get these, I'm still going to get it. Are you tweeting a lot of Sox lately, Sylvie? Yeah, I tweet about Chicago sports. We talk about Chicago sports on the station. Yeah.
Talk about pizza sometimes. Talk about other things.
So here is a little sampling from Lennon DJ, your brand new home of the White Sox. They're
back tomorrow.
Why are
you playing the White Sox stuff, Sylvie?
Sylvie, you're just killing the Cubs' bats, and then you're going to play the montage of Mercedes, and now you're a Madrigal guy? What the hell?
Well, you are a Madrigal guy.
I am. Yeah. I'm Cubs fan for Madrigal.
Yeah.
So here is a little sampling of a great day. Chuck Arfine called it, maybe in his lifetime, the best opening day ever.
And the 0-2, swing and a miss for strike three. Swing and a miss, strike three. Got him on a fastball at 93. Count is 2-2. The pitch is a strike call. Lance Lynn just struck out the side. The pitch. Swing and a high fly ball. It's well hit to left. It's going to go. Two-run homer. Yoan Moncada. Keller's offer. Mercedes launches. Deep to left. Gone. Back to back in the first. The pitch. Liner that deflects off the glove of the pitcher and into center. Grandal scores. Here comes Madrigal. 6-0. Two-strike pitch. He struck him out swinging. 7 now for Lance Lynn. 1-2, swing and a miss. Strikeout number 8 for Lance Lynn. The pitch. He struck him out. Check swing. Benintendi slams the bat, then the helmet down. Lynn's got 10 strikeouts, and we go to the bottom of the 8th. The pitch. Swing and a miss. A complete game, 5-hitter, Lance Lynn with an absolute gem. He strikes out 11. What a performance.
Great performance yesterday by Lennon DJ, Connor McKnight, our whole White Sox crew on ESPN 1000. They're back tomorrow.
Long day for them. They did yeoman's work.
Absolutely outstanding. Vinny Duber tweeted this about Lance Lynn yesterday, Waddle. It was his fourth career complete game effort. Last was last year. It was his second career complete game shutout. His first since 2014. and I gave you this earlier with Jeff Passan. He was the first White Sox pitcher to throw a complete game in the home opener since Britt Burns in 1985.
I don't remember that.
And he's the first White Sox pitcher to throw a shutout in the home opener since Wilbur Wood in 1976.
Definitely don't remember that.
Yeah, you don't.
I don't.
Good historic stuff right there from the White
Sox. Carm, you know, I was interested to hear what Carm had to say being out at the ballpark, and he said it was a great experience. He thought everyone was thrilled to be there for any number of reasons. I also was interested to hear how he felt about the number of people there. And I think Carm said, and he said, look, it's an individual's perspective, but he thought that they could probably, you know, ramp up the number of people in there without him feeling. And again, this was his personal opinion.
Right.
You could put an extra, you know, whatever it was, 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 people in the building and spread them out, and he personally would have felt comfortable. I'd just be interested to see ultimately how many people they get out in there when the summer begins and
I agree.
How people respond.
I want these numbers to go down, you know, because they've been ticking upwards, and you know how we've handled this so far. Been very conservative statewide, citywide. So, like, I hope that it gets there. I am going to effort tickets on, for sure, for the Cubs. I do want to expose my kids to the White Sox games, too. Let them choose and just enjoy baseball for them. You know, I want them to like the sport. We miss that. When you have a 6 and now a 5-year-old, and you don't take them to a sporting event for over a year, like, it doesn't translate for them on TV. They don't know what the game is. They've got to eat the popcorn. They've got to eat the hot dogs. They've got to have the licorice and the ice cream.
Why don't you take him to dinner instead of take him to a ball game?
Well, this is how you draw a kid in. You say, look, not only is this fun, but look at all these special treats they have at the Cubs. That's bribery. But that's how kids get real. And then the more they're exposed, they notice something.
Give that kid a scorecard and a pencil and tell him to start keeping score. That's what you get him going.
Exactly.
I bet your mom could teach those kids how to score a baseball game.
Did I tell you that Barb used to keep score?
Yes.
She used to keep score.
Didn't take you there for you to get a hot dog and Cracker Jacks and peanuts and popcorn.
Oh, it was enhanced. You better believe it. I got the nachos. I was a nachos kid at the sporting events with that liquid cheese. Hold the peppers for me.
Okay.
Give me a hot pretzel, and I could dip the cheese in there,
pretzel,
too.
Right? Get you a hot pretzel. You're not going to get the kids everything. Don't you get them one thing, and then you tell them to sit there and watch the baseball game?
No. Look, if they watch...
Why don't you take them to Candyland, then?
Well, because I want to them eventually like baseball. You've got to bring them in for something that they can relate to currently. And if they could take away a couple of plays in the first time, and then they remember it's a fun place where they get treats, maybe the second time they take in an inning. And then the next thing you know, they want to go to the game because they like the game. That's how it happened to a lot of kids.
Man, Willy Wonka over there trying to teach his kids how to be baseball fans.
Get the golden ticket.
You get a golden ticket there, Mason. You want to go see the White Sox?
So, and I think I'm going, I said this to my wife because my 5-year-old is a little antsier than my 6-year-old. And he is not one to sit in a seat just like, boom, you know, just to sit. So I think with the spaced out seating and having basically like seats on both sides of you free, the row in front of you free, the row behind you free, right? Isn't that the way they're doing it?
I believe so.
Where you got your own little pod. I think I don't think there's ever been a better time to bring kids than now.
Yeah, I don't think your kids are allowed to go exploring. I think you have to stay to your seats, but yeah, I mean,
I didn't say they're going to go exploring. I don't have to worry about that they're blocking the view behind them or that they're hitting the person in front of them or that they need to get out of the aisle.
So you're just telling that, like, so you're not teaching them to be well-behaved in public. You're basically just, it's cool now because now they can't hit people as they're moving around in their seats.
I'm just saying it's less stressful for a parent.
I gotcha. Especially when you're funneling sugar down their throats for 4 hours.
You know it. All right, Kurt Warner is actually a bit complimentary towards the Bears' new quarterback. One of our favorite analysts, the Hall of Famer, the most valuable player, and a Super Bowl champion will join us coming up next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow @Waddle and Sylvie and @TWaddle87.
on Twitter.
All right, we're closing in at about 2 weeks, just over 2 weeks here till the NFL draft, right? Less than three, and we're excited. We haven't talked any football today. We've talked so much baseball.
We have.
We had an earlier conversation with Kurt Warner. And, Waddle, you have said that Kurt Warner is one of your favorite analysts.
He is. Everything's well thought out. His delivery's good. He just makes a lot of sense to me in how he breaks things down.
Right. And he actually explains the game. Yeah. He is starting a new site called QB Confidential. It's the Quarterback Confidential, so go to QBConfidential.com to find out more, whether you're like, you have a kid who wants to be a quarterback, you love the content, there's all this great insight and footage and breaking down the game and how it should be done by Kurt Warner, so it's really good stuff. The entire interview is available on our podcast right now. It's a matter of fact on the ESPN Chicago app. So remember, not only can you listen to the Waddle and Sylvie show live on ESPN, the ESPN Chicago app, but you get all of our podcasts on demand. Couple of pushes of a button and bam, you're there. The entire Kurt Warner interview is there. He explains more about the business. Here's the best stuff about the Bears. And I've been down over Andy Dalton, that the Bears are going to continue to just be stuck in the middle. Andy Dalton doesn't suck, but I'm worried that they're going to be right in the middle with no hope. And I asked Kurt Warner, is there more hope or not?
Well, I mean, I think you might say there's more hope because Andy Dalton has been more successful. I think Andy Dalton brings you a better level of consistency than you had with Mitch, even though he's not going to bring you the upside of some of the things that Mitch can do. The problem for me with this move is I'm a huge Andy Dalton fan because Andy Dalton played the game very similar to the way I played it. Good anticipation, smart guy, can lead, doesn't make a lot of bad decisions. So you get a lot of upside with Andy Dalton. My only problem with Andy Dalton has always been his limitations physically, is that I believe that Andy Dalton can only take you so far. And then you have to have a bunch of pieces around him to take you the rest of the way. And I think Cincinnati's a great example. He took them to a level that they hadn't been before. Went to the playoffs. They won a lot of games. And that's Andy Dalton. He can do that. He's a starter in this league. But you're only going to get that much of an upside. Now you have to believe, if you're Chicago, that you have the other pieces that can carry you to that next level. And I know we've said for a lot of, you know, number of years, they got the defense that's championship style defense. Well, we will see. Do you have the run game? Do you have the playmakers offensively to allow them to get to the point where that offense and defense can compete for championships? Because I don't believe Andy Dalton is coming in there and going to give you this huge difference-making upside at the quarterback position. He'll give you a level of consistency. He'll give you some plays. He'll make the layups that you're supposed to make, which Mitch did not always make the layups, and that hurt this football team. But you're going to have other pieces if you're going to take that step that everybody wants to take and that, you know, everybody's waiting for there in Chicago, and that step to compete, you know, with the best teams in the league and compete in the playoffs for a championship. So,
Kurt, is it worth going up and getting a guy like Fields at four? Does he have enough upside, or is that just too much to give up for the fourth best quarterback?
Well, I do believe he's got a lot of upside, and I do believe there's a lot there. But you know, usually what happens is that if you're not getting the one or two guy, there's probably some concerns. There's probably some question marks. And with Justin Fields, I believe there's some question marks, not about his upside and what he can bring physically, because, you know, he can bring a lot of stuff physically. You know, that is he more accurate than a Mitch Trubisky? Yes, I believe so. Does he process information better than Mitch? Yeah, I believe he does. But there were also times that I thought he processed things slower than I wanted him to. And so there was inconsistencies in his ability to process. And so that, to me, is a question mark with Justin Fields. So he has a lot of pieces, and he could easily transform himself into a great NFL quarterback. So that's the intrigue there. But there's going to be some questions. And so how safe is he, I think, becomes the question when you're giving up a whole bunch and you're going to try to jump up and get a quarterback. How safe is he to believe that he's going to be that guy, especially after you guys making a move and going up and getting Mitch Trubisky? And he wasn't that safe and didn't turn out to be that. And so, yeah, I'm not sure that Justin Fields, for me, is a lock to the point where I'm giving up what it's going to take to give up to jump all the way up there and get him, even though I still believe with Andy Dalton there that I need an upgrade at the quarterback position to truly see if we've got a championship defense and if we can compete. I think you're going to have to get more at the quarterback position than Andy Dalton can give you.
It's a good question, too, Kurt. That's the player component. How about the coaching component? We are asking ourselves the question, is Matt Nagy the guy to execute this plan? And you look to the past maybe to predict the future. Has the collective offensive struggles been more a product of Mitch not being good enough at the quarterback position, or has it been that a guy like Matt Nagy in his first run as a head coach didn't accentuate what Mitch did do well and may be prone to failing going forward in the same capacity?
Well, I mean, if I'm just basing it off of tape, I think there's fault on both sides. But I would still probably lean more towards Mitch than I would Coach Nagy, you know, in that regard, is that I just didn't see the processing speed and the consistency of processing, even some of the, you know, more basic concepts that I would expect an NFL quarterback to process and make most of the time. And so I would lean more towards Mitch. But I would say that I believe there needs to be growth in what they do offensively. And like you said, this is always, you know, the caveat that you have to throw out there is, did we run these plays and this offense because Mitch limited us to do that? Or is this who I am offensively, and what I did offensively helped at times, but maybe hindered us big picture wise too? I feel like a lot of times the Chicago offense comes down to, you know, trying to run some one-off plays or some gadget plays and trying to get big plays consistently that way. You know, a couple years ago when Mitch had a great year, I thought Matt Nagy called some great games and created some of those plays that just were high hoppers and easy plays and turned into big plays. And that's always great to have that. But if you're going to try to live on that, it's going to be tough. You need to live on good, solid concepts that your quarterback can read, your playmakers can make, and that you can base your entire offense off, knowing it's a good, solid concept against anybody you play. And then those offshoots come off of that, and hopefully you can steal a special play here or there, but you can't live in that special play world. And so, you know, to me, there was just not enough, substance in their base offense, with whether it was just base offense as a whole and what they were calling or what their quarterback did well, to say, we're gonna hang our hat on these things and we're going to be really good at this. And then everything else will come off of that. I just thought they were too all over the board offensively. And, you know, next year is going to give us a great indication of whether it was more Mitch or more Coach Nagy. And I'm fascinated to see that because I want to see more from the offense and want to see more, true, solid concepts from this offense that I know Andy Dalton can run. So now we'll get a chance to see, maybe what were some of the flaws these past couple years and where they were, you know, where we can point the finger a little bit more.
Really good stuff from Kurt Warner. Yep. We enjoy our conversations. We got to talk to him a little bit earlier, more on the way the quarterback is sort of evolving too, and what not to teach and what to teach. Really good stuff with the entire interview on the ESPN Chicago.
Yeah, there was a lot of good stuff, a lot of good thoughts on Andy Dalton, a lot of thoughts on where Matt Nagy may be better going forward. Listen, this is who we are. This is who we have. So my hope is that Matt Nagy learned from some of the things that went wrong. I told you a couple of years ago, I think Mitch ate his brain. And maybe without Mitch there, Maybe they'll find a way to be more productive and more efficient on offense.
Maybe he ate Mitch's talent.
There, you know what? That could be. That very well could be the case as well. They were not a good fit.
Yeah, I know. So I don't go into the season rooting against them. I want to see that the coach can coach. Yes. Yeah. And we've always liked Matt as a guy. We just wish he made better decisions.
Yep.
Here's an easy decision for you. Caller 23, all right? And then I'll explain on the other side why I'm bringing up caller number 23. Caller 23, 332-3776. It's the Connie's Frozen Pizza. Waddle and Sylvie takeover inside the First Midwest Bank studio. You can watch it on Twitch. The boys enjoyed some of the Connie's Frozen Pizza. Pizzeria quality taste right at home. I had the deep dish sausage. You guys did the thin crust sausage, right?
Yes, we did. We had a thin crust sausage. Black and I had sausage and pepperoni.
And a cheese.
And a cheese.
Oh, and a cheese, too. Yeah. Okay, good. So, and we're going to be giving away more throughout the days coming up. So be listening. But right now, caller 23-332-3776. I'm going to give you open season to rip me coming up next. You've heard of what to watch for. This is something I could not watch. So it is what Sylvie could not watch for, and it's very petty, and it's next. The 5 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. Mortgage interest rates have started to rise at the Home Loan Expert office. They are still locking loans in the twos. Find out how much you can save. Contact my guy, Ryan Kelly, at thehomeloanexpert.com.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
So I'll throw myself under the bus here, all right? This is petty. This is meatball. This is meathead-ish, whatever you want to call it.
We'll be the judge of that.
Oh, no. I know how you will rule. I know. I understand. I am not proud of myself for this either. I don't know
where this is going.
No. I mean, I gave you hints when I said caller 23, and this all kind of ties it together. A few days ago, I forget when it was, if it was last weekend, I wanted to bring this up earlier in the week, and then we had a couple of Sox games, so we weren't on really much Wednesday or Thursday. The Space Jam trailer came out, and they had been, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter a lot.
Quite often, you're on Instagram Live.
Right.
Telling people how you feel about your baseball team.
One time, yes. It was fun, actually. Yeah, I was able to get something off my chest. What it was, I don't know. But so anyway, it popped up on my feed. I forget where it was. It was probably Instagram for the entire trailer. I was a big Space Jam fan, all right? And they're remaking it, and they've remade it. It's coming out here soon. And the full trailer was out, and I clicked on it.
Mm-hmm.
And after 30 seconds, I X'd it out, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. It felt like I was watching my ex-girlfriend in a new relationship. It just didn't feel right for me. And I know this is wrong.
You're
and it's
weird.
It's very petty. And I started to get mad about LeBron then. Can't he pick a movie that he can do himself? Why does he need to piggyback more on the Jordan stuff? Like, again, he needs a Jordan movie. Like, we can't come up with your own movie.
Had you had a fight with your lovely wife, or were the kids misbehaving prior to this?
No.
It's a completely different premise, though.
What's the premise of this one?
Called is Space Jam.
I understand that, but in the premise of the first one, Michael Jordan essentially gets kidnapped to play for...
Do you guys know I never saw Space Jam?
Well, that's on you.
It's a good movie.
That's on you.
Of course it's on me. Okay. I'm just saying,
his kid gets kidnapped... And in order to rescue his son, he has to play basketball to win back his son.
Oh, really?
It's a completely different premise. All right.
Totally different.
Yeah.
So different.
Absolutely.
I just read today, too, he's doing another remake of another person's... Which
Starsky and Hutch, yes. He's doing a remake of Starsky and Hutch.
And what movie was it? Can you guys Google that? LeBron just announced, or just was announced, that he is in talks to do another remake. I mean, come on now.
Are you saying he can't create his own, unique...
Yes.
Idea.
Right.
That's just your
meatball.
That's your Michael Jordan bias right there.
That's what I'm saying, and I'm not proud of it. And
well, what's wrong with you? I thought you were past that.
Because I thought I was going to enjoy the Space Jam. I like updated movies that were done 30 years ago and now are revisited or done differently.
Except when LeBron is playing the starring role that Michael once had.
I told you I knew how you'd rule.
Yeah, I mean, that's dumb. Like, you're weird for feeling that way. It's a different premise.
Super
like, you can still think Michael's the greatest of all time, and but also enjoy LeBron's movie.
I was just not proud of myself. I wanted to see The Coming Attraction.
That's the first time you've had that
thought?
I don't
see anything on his IMDb that says that...
he's doing another movie?
No, it should be... Don't Google. Just Google him in movie. It was. I saw it on my feed today.
He's going to be on the NBA on ESPN.
Yeah, that's not. I don't think that's
on his. That's on his IMDb page.
Yeah, let me search really quick.
But I don't think that's what Sylvie's talking about. How long did you have that feeling and did it pass like gas?
No, that's
it
what
lingered
sucks.
With you all day?
It's lingering as I like, speak to you right now.
Why?
Me, Sylvie, that's almost on par as the person that would say, I don't want LeBron on the Bulls because I'm such a Bulls fan.
Yeah. You're right. It's completely
that's
out of touch.
Point.
It's completely meatballish. It's a total stupidity, you know, idea here, but I caught myself doing this and feeling this way.
Did you... At any point, did you stomp your feet and make baby noises?
I did not.
No? Did you poop your pants?
Here it is. He's going to remake House Party now. LeBron James.
I don't think I saw that either.
LeBron James House Party remake. That came out yesterday. I mean, does he have to remake a...
Why do you care?
Say what you want about Shaq's movies. They all stunk. But at least they were, like, original content.
Okay, do you like The Rock, Dwayne Johnson?
I do. I love The Rock.
Okay, like, he did the remake of Walking Tall. It was good.
Okay, I didn't hate
him for making the remake of Walking Tall where Buford T. Pusser was
just producing that movie. He's not going to be in it.
Well,
he might have an appearance.
It's all copycat stuff.
But that's all Hollywood is now. There's seven Batman movies. There's eight Joker movies.
Pave your own way.
I just gave you Godzilla versus King Kong. How many times have we seen that?
Too many.
By the way, did you guys see the video of Shaq at the jewelry store buy the engagement ring for the person sight unseen?
No.
There's video going around. They're like at a Zales or some jewelry store that looks like in a mall or something like that. You know how it's like open on a corner?
Let's send him to Joe and Tony's down in Frankfurt.
So this guy is getting his engagement ring rung up at the register. Shaq was in the jewelry store to get some earrings. Shaq walks up to the register as the guy's getting rung up, pats the guy in the back, introduces himself, and hands his black card to the cashier and takes care of the entire engagement ring. Just like that. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm going to go into like a Maserati dealership that I know Shaq hangs around in and hope you get the same treatment.
Right. Yeah, any dealership, right?
Oh, I really want to buy one of these things. I wonder about how cool it would be to drive one. Shaq, could you tell me? Could you tell me how cool it is?
Excuse me, sir. I'm Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, LeBron is going to be in a new Star Wars.
Oh, geez. Like, you know what? Have a drink, will you? Have a drink. And
all
by
right.
the way, get yourself prepared for a little Monday in-person studio action.
Yes, Monday we will be back together in the same studio. Make sure you're watching 2 o'clock sharp on Twitch. All right, I'll be back in the studio. I can't wait to be back. It's been a long, long year. Thank you for your support. You guys have an hour show, right? And then Odds Couple coming up at 7
what
o'clock.
What are you guys talking about
Indeed.
Tonight, Adam?
We're going to talk some draft. All calls welcome.
332-3776, or else something gets red tonight. Jeff Passan, Chuck Garfine, Kurt Warner, thank you. Great work by Bleck and Abdallah. They're up in 2 short minutes. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great weekend.
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle.
you to all and to all a good night.